Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thanks for joining me. I just want to give you guys a little bit of my thoughts on WWE Evolution. Excuse me, I want to make sure I say it the corporate way. It is the first all-women's pay-per-view, WWE Evolution. There. Did I say it right, Stephanie? Happy. Okay. So I'm going to give you guys my predictions on that show. There's some breaking news coming out too, by the way, which we will get to in just a second. But if you haven't joined me before, I thank you for joining me because, as my tagline says, this is the internet's most passionate wrestling analysis on the internet. And I really do believe that because, you know what, there's a lot of good shows out there, not knocking any shows. I think the majority of them are very good. But I feel like it lacks a real fan's perspective and it feels more business. It doesn't feel like it's coming from the heart. It doesn't feel like it's coming from the true mind of the person and not analyzing it and giving such a just a business. Here's what I think it is, but I really don't I don't have any true feelings on it. It's just here's my expert analysis from years of watching rather than actually feeling something. And I don't know, that's my perspective. So I mean, my tagline is my tagline, but a slogan or whatever you want to call it, marketing scheme, I don't care, but that's really what I feel like this show is a real passionate, true analysis of the wrestling business going on today. So by the way, follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. You know, things are growing really well. I'm really thanking you guys for rating me, reviewing me, especially on iTunes, now known as Apple Podcasts, also on Spreaker, and newly on Google Play. So those of you who would like to check that out, you're more than welcome on Google Play, also on Spotify, really anywhere. So if you have a podcast app and you don't see me, reach out. Let me know. Hey, you're not here. I'm also on Anchor, although Anchor is kind of, it's lagging behind in some of my episodes. While I'm there, I wouldn't really go there for my latest shows, but I do have a presence there as well. So check me out, guys. Really do appreciate it. Thanks for all the support and comments and really creative criticism. That's why I'm here, to make sure that not only do I express my opinions, it's an outlet for me, but it's also a cool way to interact with everybody else who is passionate about this form of sport. No, I didn't say entertainment, Vince. I said sport. Yeah. Dirty, dirty word. So, guys, thank you for joining me again. And the breaking news is that Alexa Bliss has been pulled from WWE Evolution. And I guess there's an injury going on. There's been speculation over the last week or so if she would be able to compete. And it's been determined that she's unable. Or that she shouldn't. Maybe she physically could, but clearly WWE is concerned, and rightfully so, about their performer's health. Top priority. Can't blame anybody for that. And so she has been pulled from WWE Evolution in the tag match versus Lita and Trish, and her replacement is Alicia Fox. And WWE planted those seeds this past Monday night when she had a scuffle backstage with Lita and Trish. And, you know, that was WWE's way, if they needed to, take that road if Alexa couldn't compete. And that's what they end up having to do. And I'm a little bit torn on this decision, or at least torn on the fact that Alexa's not going to be able to compete here. Well, number one, I feel for the performer, the person of Alexa. And I feel for her because this is a historic moment for the women. I get it. Okay, we don't need to hear about it. We hear about it on a weekly basis, multiple times a day on every show that WWE produces, how historic this moment is. And I get it. Okay. So I feel for her, and I'm sure she genuinely is disappointed that she can't compete. However, this is really a tag match that has no bearing on anything at all. I think that it was tailor-made for Alexa to come away with the win against Trish and Lita. But I don't know now if the outcome is going to be the same. I think that this build-up to their tag match has been hit and miss, and the misses mostly coming from Trish and Lita. It may sound like I'm being disrespectful. I'm not. I have the utmost respect for both Lita and Trish. They were the women's revolution before the women's revolution happened. They were the serious part of the women's division back in an era when there was pillow fights and bra and panties matches and the king screaming puppies every single Monday Night Raw. So they were the legitimate part of the women's revolution before the women's revolution was a thing. So if you want to go back to a time when you have a women's division that really was a joke, you could look to Lita and Trish for the real part of that division and part that you didn't change the channel or roll your eyes at. And so my point is that the misses coming from the whole buildup were with Lita and Trish. And my point is that they didn't have the best promos coming up to this match. They never were very strong on the mic, Lita and Trish. They have always that's not where they spoke their best. I think their best talking, figuratively, has been in the ring. And so while they were legends in their own right, and still deservedly are, because, like I said, they made the women's division relevant. They had some of the best matches, although by today's standards, they may not be, right? Because the bar was so low back in the early 2000s that, you know, when Lita and Trish put on their match, that wasn't just a eye-rolling, you know, bra and panties match. It felt like it was a great match. However, if you stick that quality of match in today's environment, it really may not be viewed as such. So maybe we're a little bit skewed in our memory of Trish and Lita because of how bad the women's division was back then, that even a serviceable match was viewed as great. However, they had a great presence. They were never really great on the mic, and that really, really showed in a eyesore or really earsore way as their build to Trish of their tag match with Alexa at the time and Mickey James. I think that this match was really more to put over Alexa and Mickey. Now I'm not so sure, because does Alicia Fox and Mickey James really need the win here? I don't think so. So I'll get to my predictions in just a moment or two, but those are my thoughts on it. And I feel for Alexa. That's a tough pill to swallow this close to a historic pay-per-view. And, you know, I wish all the best to Alexa. I think that she is the future top card of the women's division on Raw or wherever she's put, on SmackDown or wherever, whatever brand she's on. I think she will be consistently in the main event talk, and deservedly so. I think she has still so much untapped potential. She's done a great job as a heel. She's got a great, great mic presence. She doesn't feel phony on the mic. She feels like she's a legitimately self-centered, egotistical so I think that Alexa hasn't even scratched the surface yet. I really believe that. You know, does she put on 5-star matches? No, but she's got a lot of time to improve in that area as well. She's foundationally sound, technically sound, but still a lot of time to improve. And I look forward to her return. And again, I feel for her. I really do. As much as I may sound like a cold-hearted SOB on this show at times, I totally can relate to, you build up for something, feel something, you know, you're working towards something. WWE is hyping, and all of a sudden the rug gets pulled out from under you at the last moment. So the other news, before I get to my predictions on Evolution, that we've all heard is the fact of WWE saying pretty much the hell with it. We're moving forward with Saudi Arabia as the location for Crown Jewel. Not only is Crown Jewel going to be the pay-per-view that we are not going to cancel, we are going to continue with the pay-per-view. We're going to move forward with the location of the pay-per-view. And I gave my opinion a few days ago on my my review show from Raw, and I still stand by the fact that I agree with WWE, and there's really no right way to look at this. You could make an argument for both sides. There's no right answer. There really isn't. Even if you're on the side of, look at how terrible, look what that government covered up. They lied. Look at everything that they, you know, look, that's an awful crime. And it is. It absolutely is. That's not the debate. The debate is WWE going to cut off their nose to spite their face and make everybody happy in a socially acceptable way by not fulfilling their contractual obligations? And I know they're hiding behind the excuse that, well, it's a contract. We have to honor our contract. But in reality, could they have pulled out? Of course they could have. I don't think their lawyers are silly enough to not put a clause in there that has something to the effect of, you know, if Saudi Arabia is irresponsible in a socially unacceptable way, or something, some kind of event out of the control of WWE occurs and would have a negative impact on WWE's perception, something to that effect. You would think WWE's lawyers would be smart enough to put that into the contract, and I believe it was. The bottom line is WWE, yes, they're not so much hiding behind their contract. They are doing what they feel is right for the long term. They're not just looking at this as a singular event. They signed a 10-year deal with Saudi Arabia. And this is year one. There's 9 years to go, folks. And if WWE was to pull out of this event, this would be create a very frictional relationship with the Saudi government. Because now you're starting off on the wrong foot with the Saudi Arabian government. And I understand that they're the ones who really are in the wrong here, but you take that out of it. This is an event that was scheduled before this happened. This is an event that has a major financial impact on not just Saudi Arabia, but on WWE itself. And by association, all of their shareholders. If I'm invested in WWE, do you think I would want WWE to pull out of this event that has a massive amount of money in it just to make sure that everyone views them as they're doing the right thing? Well, is it really the right thing? Because some people view it, the right thing would be them not to go and don't make a statement. Now, well, wait a minute. They have millions of people investing their money in their stock. They have stakeholders. They have a responsibility, a fiscal responsibility to their shareholders and stakeholders. It's not just about, well, the right thing would be to make do the moral thing. Oh, that's to me, yes, that would be the morally right thing to do. But that is outweighed by fiscal. I understand you say it's all about the money. Well, you know what? They're a business. They are first and foremost a business. And they didn't enter into this contract after this event. They entered into this 10-year contract before this event. And they do have a substantial fan base in Saudi Arabia. They do. And I know that was a part of the argument of WWE's press release about this. And they did say that they had a long-standing 20-year relationship with Saudi Arabia prior to this. And they have since signed a 10-year deal with them. So there's a ton more of Saudi Arabia events to come. Probably two a year. I mean, I haven't seen the contract, but probably, I would say, two events per year, which means there's 18 events to go, folks. 18, okay? And I think that WWE is doing the right long-term decision here for the shareholders. They're not a private company anymore. They're not. And I think that when it comes down to it, the bottom line is what I would say the majority of shareholders care about. Not if I have, say I put, I don't know, $1 million into WWE stock, and I obviously want the stock to rise, hence increasing my net worth. Do you think I'm thinking, well, the best way to increase their stock value is to pull out of Saudi Arabia, you know, potentially put the entire 10-year contract at risk, which if you do, say, hundreds of millions of dollars at risk, really over 10 years, right? Probably. That may be underdoing it. The best way to increase my value is to cancel the event, put that whole contract at risk, and that'll be the best way to increase profits. No, that's not. That may not be the morally right thing to do, but is WWE supportive of what happened in Saudi Arabia? Of course they're not. Of course they're not. I think people are indirectly relating the fact that WWE cares more about the money than what actually happened to that individual. I don't think that's the case, but they're such a large entity. They need to do what is best for the majority, not the minority, and not the outsiders that have no fiscal stake in WWE. None. Zero. So I stand by my guns. I do not feel that WWE is making the wrong decision here. I really don't. So I'll end it with that as far as my opinions on Saudi Arabia and that whole thing. And I know people are protesting and they're not going to watch the event and they're not going to cover it. I've listened to wrestling podcasts, which I'm not going to give free advertisement to because that's free advertisement, right? So I believe that WWE is doing the right thing, and more power to them. That's really, I mean, I don't back up corporate a lot. I agree with this decision, and I commend Vince McMahon for having the balls to stand there and say, and it is, I'm sure it was a tough decision. I mean, because there's an argument against it. I'm not saying there's not. I'm not saying this is the only way to look at it. But I agree with this decision because it's a long-term decision. They're looking at the forest through the trees and not just staring at what's right in front of them, what's down the line. And as I said a few days ago, this is something that everybody's going to have a short memory about, and I believe that because people have short memories and suddenly go, oh yeah, there was that thing that Saudi Arabia did. However, I will say this with one caveat. If Saudi Arabia continues to do shady things like this, and there are other scandals that come out down the line, that's then WWE needs to think about this long-term relationship, because in 9 years, can Saudi Arabia keep their hands clean from another disastrous PR event like this? It's a situation, as WWE has very consistently said, they're monitoring the situation. Well, they better monitor this. To me, I would give Saudi Arabia a free pass on this as far as continuing with the event. However, I would not let another event like this pass and have the events continue in that country. So anyway, let's move on to my predictions for WWE Evolution. Or wait a minute. I don't use the right corporate speak. Let's move on to the first ever all women's pay-per-view, WWE Evolution. There. I'm making Stephanie so proud. I'm sure she listens to this show. Okay. Let's start at the bottom here, and I don't want to say the bottom, but I'm looking at, if you guys want to know, I actually have Wikipedia. It seems to be the most, aesthetically pleasing to my phone here. And it's the easiest to just scroll through without all the text and pictures. So I have Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Natalya versus the Riot Squad, which is Liv Morgan, Sarah Logan, and Ruby Riot. So this is a six-woman tag team match. I would say, honestly, I mean, it's sad to say because the three women, Sasha, Bayley, and Natalya, were all at one time women's champion. And it's really something that I don't want to say I don't care, but it's pretty close to I don't care as I could say without actually saying I don't care. I guess it's one of those I kind of care matches, but there's no real story here the disaster that was Sasha and Bayley, that I love you, I hate you, I love you, I hate you. No, I love you. No, I really love you. It kind of got creepy and weird, and I didn't know where they were going. I don't think they knew where they were going. I would say that the Riot Squad wins here, and I think that they win because they need the win. They are an actual team, whereas you have three individuals on the same team. So the Riot Squad needs momentum. The Riot Squad needs that momentum. However, if this opens the show, I would say Sasha, Bayley, and Natalya win, just because WWE likes to give you that exciting moment to get the energy up and have the babyfaces win that first match. So if it's the first match, I'm going to say that the babyfaces win. If it is later in the show, any other spot in the show, the Riot Squad wins, and I think they should win. All right, the Women's Battle Royal. I'm not going to name all the participants. It's pretty much everybody else that WWE didn't have a match for. And I know I'm going with the favorite, but it makes the most sense. I think Nia Jax wins. You'll have another moment between Nia Jax and Tamina, and we'll all go, ooh, they both look similar. But wait, didn't WWE already do this? And Nia Jax pretty much destroyed her. It seems like Tamina's kind of a Nia Jax wannabe. However, I'm not discounting Tamina. They just haven't done a whole lot with her besides really just play on how strong she is, which can only get you so far without giving her a little more depth. So with that being said, I'm sure we'll get that moment and whatever. I mean, it is what it is. I'm fine with it. At the end of the day, Nia Jax, I think comes away with the victory and a future women's title opportunity. So, and we didn't get a finish, really clean finish to Nia Jax and Ronda Rousey. So there's that too. All right, and then Trish Stratus and Lita versus now Alicia Fox and Mickie James. As I said, and I kind of hinted towards this before, if Alexa was still in this match, I would say Alexa and Mickie win, not even a competition. However, this to me seems like kind of a feel-good nostalgic moment now because Mickie James is far from the future of WWE, and Alicia Fox, beyond being kind of a wacky, wearing ridiculous clothing, obnoxious, semi-quasi heel, she doesn't need to win either. And clearly, it's just a stand-in for Alexa. This match was all about Alexa. And if you take Alexa out, it leaves really just a babyface win. And I think it should be. I don't think there's anything to gain with Alexa or with Alicia and Mickie James winning this match. It comes down to now a nostalgic, feel-good Trish and Lita win. That's what it comes down to. I really believe that. Taking Alexa out of this match has changed the entire complexion and purpose of this match, to be honest. And hopefully, Trish and Lita can do a little bit better of a job as far as telling their story inside the ring than they did on the microphone, which was a complete disaster. Maybe it was Lita's feminist shirt. I don't know. That's a whole other story. Okay. Then we have Shirai versus Toni Storm in the Mae Young Classic Tournament final match. I'll be totally honest, folks. I haven't followed this very much. From what I hear about this, and I followed this at a minimum, I'm going to go with Storm, Toni Storm. And that's only because that's what everybody else is predicting. I know. For a wrestling podcast, you're like, you don't watch that? No. Like, I barely have time to watch Hulu, 90-minute version of SmackDown and Raw. But I'm trying to get a little more into the outside of just WWE mainstream TV. So, Mae Young Classic, Toni Storm. How about that? All right. Okay. Then we have Kairi Sane versus Shayna Baszler. I'm going to go with Shayna Baszler. I think that she has, inside the ring, a much more physical style. It's, I think, kind of time to put the belt on Shayna Baszler. It just makes sense. I don't know how they keep the belt on Kairi Sane. I really, really don't. This is Shayna Baszler's time. There's no better time to make a title change than at a historic event like this. It's Shayna Baszler. Book it. Okay, then we get into the top two matches. And the semi-main, Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair. Last woman standing. Unfortunately, as good as these two matches may or may not be, well, I think they will be, they are extremely predictable, and sometimes that's not a bad thing. I don't need WWE to be cute here. I think that predictability is not always bad, and in this case makes sense to do what I think most people believe are the outcomes. But just give us a nice story, a nice ride to that destination where we already know we're going to. And if I polled, I don't even know if I'm going to bother tweeting out this poll because I think I know the results. But Becky Lynch seems to be the absolute winner here. First of all, their story has been one of the best of 2018. WWE can chalk up the reaction to Becky Lynch as, well, it's a reaction, it's loud. Nonsense. That's such a corporate cover-up nonsense response that is just brainwashed and programmed into everybody that doesn't get the reaction that they are scripted to get, that the writers and Vince and Stephanie and all of management just says, they're being loud, that's what matters. Nonsense. And I am saying nonsense as the best substitute word for many a curse word that I could say. So Becky Lynch wins. I think it's going to be a very physical match. It's going to be maybe Alexa or Becky has some help. It's possible. But ultimately this is going to be physical. It's going to be nasty. It's going to be fun to watch. And Becky comes out on top. The final match, the main event, is Ronda Rousey and Nikki Bella. This one, even more predictable, I think, than Becky Lynch and Charlotte. And again, not a bad thing. Does anybody really want to be surprised to see Nikki win? That's not a good surprise. Every time it's a surprise or a shocking end doesn't always mean it's a good shocking or surprising end. This seems to be the only way WWE can go. I don't want them to get cute with this ending either. Just have Nikki Bella get owned. And Bree's obviously going to be a factor here. Don't get cute. Just have Ronda mow her down. I don't want to see it in 30 seconds. But you can have Nikki get some offense, do some cheap shots, some just very heel 101 tactics. Maybe poke her in the eye, do things behind the referee's back, use maybe foreign objects. Things like that that would make the story more than just Ronda going in and steamrolling, but a journey you can take us on to want to see Ronda beat Nikki down and make her tap. And I loved, by the way Ronda just took the slap and walked away on Monday night. At first I didn't, but it made me go, oh, I haven't seen something like that in quite a while. So that's what I'm going with, guys. So thank you everyone for listening. Again, please rate and review me if you have some time on Apple Podcasts or anywhere that you can. And follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. And I'll be doing a WWE Evolution review show next week, along with all of the Raw and SmackDown nonsense that is sure to follow, and all of the wonderful Saudi Arabia backlash as well, as we continue to creep closer to that pay-per-view next weekend. So until then, guys, thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next time.